I do think that is one of the hurdles of the game right now for me, is the mental juggling going on. And I know we tried to resolve that a little bit with the open hands, but mental juggling.
Do you think that's about the volume of text and abilities, or do you think that's about the poor formatting?
I do think some of it is poor formatting. What was funny was I thought you were going to say, is it you're just slow? Is it you're just not smart? I thought that's where you were going.
No, that'd be mean.
But I would have sided with you. I would have said, yeah, that's probably, there's some degree of that.
Look, one of the things I have learned from you is I have started to refine some level of eye for detail, and the layout on the cards does bother me now.
Wow, okay, that's good.
So, you know, incremental change.
That's good. Yeah, that would really bother people.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where one of us started playing Gloomhaven. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
It wasn't me.
It was me. I've been playing Gloomhaven. Mark, not only have I played in person, but I also have been playing online.
On Tabletop Simulator?
No. No, I bought it on Steam.
Oh.
I've been playing. I've been like...
You're hooked?
I'm not doing anything else. I'm just thinking about Gloomhaven all day.
I'll add it to my list.
It's funny because, you know, when we started this project, it was never, we kind of used it as like that example of a thing we're never going to create and do because we don't play games like that. It's a lot of fun. It's challenging. I'm not good at it.
I'm looking forward to getting to play.
Where are we?
We are trying to come out of struggling to continue doing things. Fair?
I understand what you're saying. Does the audience?
Last time we talked about, we didn't do a lot of the things on Tabletop Simulator that we wanted to do. And this week,
we were going to dive into Tabletop Simulator. We were going to play MMA Gauntlet on Tabletop Simulator.
We didn't quite get there.
No.
But we did get an update of MMA Gauntlet done. In fact, we got two updates of MMA Gauntlet done.
That's right. So while we weren't able to put it into Tabletop Simulator, we have played version 2 and version 3 of MMA Gauntlet in person on paper with carts.
So you remember when we did the original playtest or the original homework assignment of go make a small game?
Yes.
And we'll come back and play it.
Yeah.
That was really hard for me. I did not relish the idea of sitting in a room by myself building a small card game. I thought the game was cool, but the actual like sitting, making my poorly formatted cards really didn't do it for me. Sitting down on Friday night when we got to play together and playtest not for the show really breathed new life into the game. And I am much more enthusiastic about MMA Gauntlet than I was previously.
I've completely forgotten about Supermarket Game. I have really enjoyed playing and thinking about MMA Gauntlet.
With that said, I have one more confession for you.
Go on.
The update I made for MMA Gauntlet to version 2 was a little bit of a panic update.
How so?
I've been doing some additional work at school, trying to get ready for next year, and I've been doing math tutoring. So at about 5:30 on Friday, 2.5 hours before we were supposed to sit down and play and or record this episode, I was like, well, shoot, I have to put it all on paper. And I'd been doing my like passive planning thing of, you know, thinking about the feedback that we had from Discord and other places and just like speed ran through reformatting, creating the progressive characters and adding a few other small features and showed up with it not cut out yet. So we had to sleeve it at your place.
Well, I'm not surprised, but I'll be honest as well. We just played version 3.0 today and most of what we came up with I was thinking about only an hour and a half ago when I was putting one of my kids to sleep. And we played with post-it notes that are inside the sleeves. So
sideways and ripped up. It's a good look. That said, I think these two playtests were very productive.
And we'll get into that in a minute. But before we start, This week's episode is brought to you by Koenig Creations. Koenig Creations is a print and play design studio that seeks to make accessible, fun games that are easy to print. I've said it before and I'll say it again, for their benefit, not mine. My wife likes their one-page games more than mine. Check out their website at koenigcreations.com, K-O-E-N-I-G, creations with a K. Wayne has been adding blog posts and pictures, giving you a peek behind the scenes at what goes into creating their games. You can also find a link to their current Vault expansion on Kickstarter that was funded in under 5 hours. Koenig Creations, easy to print, easy to play.
What are we working on?
We've been fighting each other in MMA Gauntlet. So we have two versions that we want to talk about. If hearing MMA Gauntlet makes you go, what? What are they talking about? Go back to episode 5. Mark pitched a game called MMA Gauntlet. MMA Gauntlet was Mark's version of bringing an auto battler into a card game. We played the game and we got a lot of feedback from Discord version 2.0.
The biggest piece of feedback that was the driving force behind version 2 was I did not have a way for units to scale in MMA Gauntlet. And so in the digital version of these games, you can collect like 3 of a kind. And once you get 3 of a kind, you get a stronger version of that unit. I was also really concerned with scaling in that we can't do mathematical scaling where numbers are doubling to large numbers because we're a tabletop game. Instead of having to collect or have like large scaling that we couldn't account for, I came up with progression tracks that became 2 separate decks. So if you think of your draw deck in the middle, you have a progression track for the person who loses the round and a progression track for a person who wins the round. And I called those tracks the veteran track and the champion track. A lot of what I was trying to solve for was to avoid having the person who won the first round just run away with the game. So the veteran track I came up with, they removed their disadvantage and they got a small stat boost. And that's how characters in the veteran track progress. In the champion set, we kept the disadvantage to hopefully leave a little bit of a catch-up mechanic, but added a specialization, which was most of the time an opportunity to get like a little bit of extra damage or some kind of bonus perk. So for example, the original grappler has an advantage against counterpuncher, has a disadvantage against the volume striker, has 8 hit points and a base damage of a d6. The veteran grappler no longer has that disadvantage, goes up to 12 hit points and keeps their same damage die. The champion grappler gets a smaller hit point upgrade to 10 hit points and acquires a specialization where they can roll sequential rolls again and their damage die changes. So the champion grappler rolls 2d4s, and if you roll like a 2 and a 3 in a row, you get to reroll 1 die to add for your damage. So that was kind of the plan for progression in the tabletop version of this game. The other thing that kind of stood out to us was that like cognitive load piece that you talked about, where it's really hard to keep track of which units your opponent has. So we did a quality of life improvement that was recommended by someone in Discord, where we just played with all of our units face up until it was time to set our lineups for the next round.
There were times when Mark and I were playing version 1 where I think I thought you had a power puncher the whole game, and I kept setting myself up to attack that power puncher. You never had one.
It's like the shell game that you tricked yourself in.
Yes.
So we tried our best to take that out. With those kind of being the big updates, what were your initial impressions of version 2?
I liked it. I like seeing the... So first, I like seeing that as somebody who played auto battlers, you know, I wanted upgraded characters. I wanted, you know, the champion and the veteran grapplers. Because one of the things that we know for sure that this game needs is more variety, right? And that's kind of the first step in doing that. And you created these 2 different tracks. We haven't tested enough to know if one is more powerful than the other. So having different characters started to make the game feel more fun for sure. Because previously it felt just Rochambeau. So starting to see different effects, I really like rerolling on sequential. One of the things that we noticed though was in your original version of that, I can reroll both die. Mm. So I'm rolling two D4s, I roll a 3 and a 2 and I roll a 5, and then I do it again and I roll a 4 and a 3, I'm hitting you for 12, right? We found that to be very powerful. And in fact, I think there's one other situation where you might have an advantage against somebody. I'm rolling 6. I think I rolled 6 D4s on you.
One of the advantages for Volume Striker is getting to roll two sets of rolls versus one set of rolls against its advantage type. And so you had that plus one of the strategies or tactics that allowed you to get another set. And that was probably a little bit much.
But fun to see the different upgrades or variations of the cards. Number two was you talked about being able to see what the opponent had. That was definitely nicer knowing, you know, I knew for sure the cards that you had. So when I picked my spells, for example, I don't know if we're calling them spells yet or if we're calling them trainings.
I called them strategies and tactics in the original, or at least in my brain, they're strategies and tactics.
We drafted them in this version. Now when I picked one, like I did pick one in our first version that gave me an advantage against power punchers. You didn't have any power punchers. So now I was able to pick the correct spell strategy advantage. That was definitely helpful. What I really liked about that playtest, Mark, was we really started thinking about, as we were playing it, okay, this is feeling better. What would make it even better? What change could we make now? And I think we even did a couple of live things and changes with rolling a die or how we played something. I really started thinking about, oh, what would I change? What would I do? And I know one of the things I said to you at one point was we were playing with 5 characters, right? So we were trying to line up 5 different characters to fight each other. And I think at one point I said, what if it was just 3 and you didn't know what 3 I was going to put out? Because I knew every one of your characters you were going to put out. You only had 5. Mm-hmm. It was just you were going to change the order. And I had said to you, I said, what if you only put out 3 and I didn't know which ones you were holding back?
And I think that was an excellent suggestion. In version 1, you built your team from 2 units all the way up to 5, and then you would play a second round at your full team. So it was this kind of like best of 5. One of the other things that we've kind of run into in our playtesting since then is if you don't have a really finite end, there's a chance that like if you have too many draw rounds, the game runs too long. And so your version, that suggestion, one, makes the round shorter, and then two, made it easier to find a cap of, okay, you play until you get 3 round wins or best of 5 round wins. So it also clarified the end game nicely too.
And adds another layer of strategy where, you know, you see in my hand that I have 2 power punchers, but maybe I'm just not going to play them. Maybe I'm just going to hold on to them if I'm only going to put out 3. So you play the card that is good against power punchers, but I held them back. One of the other things I think you tried in version 2 was how the rolls and damage worked.
It was something we talked about. There was a suggestion in Discord at maybe looking at a different way of distributing damage, where if I rolled a 4 and you rolled a 1, I would mark 3 damage on your character instead of both of us marking damage. And I think your knee-jerk reaction of disliking it.
I did. But now that I'm hearing you explain that, I'm understanding it better. The 4-1 is a good example. I roll a 1, you roll a 4. What you're saying is my character, instead of taking 4 points of damage, would take 3, and your character wouldn't take anything.
Correct.
I thought what it was my character takes the 4, and my roll just doesn't factor at all.
Oh, no.
So I did. I did in our test tell you, no, I hate this immediately. I didn't like it. And I think we quickly said, okay, let's go back to the original die. But now hearing that, I think a little bit more clearly, I understand what you mean, the difference. Oh.
It might be worth going back to, but I think one of the other things that you identified as possibly an issue with that version is there's a world where it risks elongating the rounds in a way if the average damage dealt is less, even if you're always marking damage on someone. Marking damage on one person and the difference, you're marking less damage every time.
it does help out with one of the things that we've been talking about is that we want the characters differentiated better so that it feels like using their, you know, their abilities or their difference or their advantage actually feels like it matters. I think that would make a difference. That would be one of the things if we were using die differential, I think that would factor in. Interesting. I'm willing to go back to that with whatever we do in version 4.
Next playtest, we'll try that one.
Yeah.
It's funny you coming back to that now because it just echoes that piece of that missing collaborative piece for me that I find so engaging about this project. Like I'm already like, oh yeah, let's get into V4. Like, let's play again. Let's playtest. Let's figure out things. Because it was also in the playtest that we did on Friday night where we were talking about the money piece and we were like, I was explaining my concern of I don't want the person who wins round one to just run away by getting a bunch of money. You want to reward the players for something by giving them coins. So you can't just like give each person the same number each round. Like that's just bland and doesn't really change anything. And that's where we stumbled on, I don't know if it was stumbled, but that's where you pitched like, why isn't it a coin per knockout as opposed to money that's accrued at the end of the round? When we say KO, right, we're talking about when I have my lineup of three and you have your lineup of three.
We both flip over one.
The character whose hit points go to zero, that unit is knocked out. If progression and a little bit of quality of life were the driving factors behind version two, what is it that you use to drive the version three update?
I'm going to start by saying brute force because I just basically said to Mark, I want to make changes. Mark came up with MMA Gauntlet. Mark has, he came up with the characters, the names, the abilities, the advantages, the disadvantages, and I've been playtesting it with him. I started thinking about it from just like a new lens. Somebody coming in and saying, oh, it's interesting what you've done, but I want to change it. I want to make it quite different, not in the sense of we're changing this permanently. We're never going back to what Mark was doing. We're never going back to version two. That's just nonsense. I have a better idea. That wasn't my point, but I did want to just overhaul it, make it considerably different, I think. The first piece for me is tactics, the strategies, the spells, what I'm calling trainings.
And when we're talking about trainings and strategies or tactics, what we're talking about in plain game terms are cards that give a single effect for the round or for one fight.
Right. And what I wanted to do was your initial ones to me were just kind of like very similar to the cards already. So it would say something like power puncher fights at advantage or grappler fights at disadvantage. And it's something that I could assign onto your unit or something that I could put onto mine. And what I wanted to do was create these static things that existed, such as, you know, you get to reroll a die or you get to change the order of one of your units. And you actually came up with a couple that I really, really liked, kind of playing off what I just said. You had one where you could peek at my last unit and then make a change on your end. I really like that. And then you also had one, you had one where I could move my unit out when it got below 50% health and switch it. Those were really fun. I really like those. But the idea was that they weren't going to be things that we've already seen on the cards. They were just going to be like these new trainings, these things you could like learn to do in your MMA life. Because I don't know, I don't do any MMA, but I assume like you're always like, you're working on something. You're trying to get better at something. You acquire these new skills.
You're starting to hint at one of the things why I've been so like rehyped about MMA Gauntlet. For the auto battler world, you kind of looked at it, well, why are we doing one-time effects or spells? And you're like, why aren't we doing treasures? Treasures being more persistent effects. But what I think is starting to become really exciting to me about this version and the process that we've undergone the last week in playtesting, the thesis, the idea, the homework assignment for MMA Gauntlet at the beginning was build a game mechanic forward. It was only about the mechanics. And so it's very bare bones. It feels very bland because I was trying to make sure that all the mechanics lined up and that it had these like features of this digital platform that I was adapting. What I think has started to happen for me and what you were just describing is a little bit of the game starting to take on more of a tabletop persona where it has these interactive features. It has, like, you don't necessarily like get to move a piece around in the middle of combat in your auto battler online, but that's the advantage of playing in paper. And the way you describe the trainings is really starting to bring in the that like flavorful aspect that, you know, for me, at least for this game, because, you know, I do like martial arts. I think they're really interesting. I train Capoeira all the time. It brings the flavor and it brings a little bit more life into the game. And that's why I'm really stoked. So when you're talking about, oh, it's time to add more characters, I'm like, oh, who else can we have? Like, we might get away from just like Power Puncher and have, there's more variety, there's more room to like draw creative units and then have those creative units then inform the mechanics. And now it's like, oh, now I'm thinking it's time to go.
Absolutely. A couple of the other changes that I wanted to make to your version of the game was one we had talked about is that instead of, you know, having five units and you're playing all five units, you're only playing three and you're holding back some and your opponent doesn't know what it is you are going to field. The other piece that I wanted to try, which is a little bit different than what you did with the two different tracks, you had the veteran and the champion track. What I wanted to do was a little bit more traditional auto battler. Typically, when you draft a unit and then you draft a third copy of the unit, it upgrades and it becomes significantly better. So what I did was, in this version, was once we drafted the third grappler or the third power puncher, you then got to insert the champion version of it into your hand. So you got rid of the three base ones and it turns into the champion version of it. And so to me, that felt very traditional auto battler. I think while playing, you actually came up with a really good solution to who got the pick first. We each started with one copy of each base unit, grappler, volume striker, power puncher, counter puncher. It's kind of like the base deck. When the next round started, after we had played the first time, I thought that, oh, you know, whoever lost should pick first. And you kind of looked at me when I said that, and I didn't clock it at first, because I think you thought it, and it is, I think, at sometimes picking first is actually a disadvantage, because then the second player gets to see what it is you're doing and they can counter it. So your workaround was the person who lost the round has the choice. So there's times where they might want to grab that unit, because it came up on a turn where you had two grapplers. I could have snaked it from you. I could have taken it from you. And that's, I think, probably the best play. But you had lost the previous round, so it actually made more sense to allow you to take it. So I really like that change that you came up with.
It's funny because the look that I gave you was just a little bit of my fixation on the original version. Because in the original version, the winner would have to draft first so that the person who lost the round could pick for the advantage. But now that you had this new feature, it required that change because we want to put more agency into the person who's a little bit behind so that we're trying to combat that risk of the person who wins the first round just running away with the game because they have all the advantage and it snowballs quickly.
We group the trainings into two categories. We did a inexpensive one that were like very moderate abilities. And then we had the more expensive one that you could buy for double the price. So you could save up your coins and buy the more expensive one, or you could buy the less expensive ones and have more. You don't necessarily want the person who's getting the most knockouts to have like a runaway advantage there as well, where they could just get to buy all the cool stuff and start using it first. For example, you did a round where instead of buying the four, you bought two twos. So I thought that was kind of clever. And the one that you bought was really good. And we said, maybe that should be a four.
Probably a four.
The one where you get the peak.
Yeah, you get the peak and then make one fighter swap.
Yeah, I really like that one. I wish I had that one.
It was really fun to play with.
What did you think about that version? So I want your opinion because I feel like I just hijacked the game to say, hey, this is cool. Let's try something a little bit different.
I didn't find it to be so much of a departure. A lot of the changes that you made were things that came up on Friday while we were playing.
Yeah, I guess I'm pretending like these are all my ideas, but it's coming from that collaboration of doing it. You know, I feel like I feel like in my head, like, no, this was my idea. I came up with this. But really, it came from just talking about it together and playing version two and thinking about version two.
That's how I would read it. I think those changes were ideas that were driven by you. But again, they're informed by what we did in the playtest for version two. And so, one, I don't feel this like sense of like really possessive ownership about MMA Gauntlet, because that's really not what it's about. But also, like, I felt like I had a hand in it, because like I knew the money change was going to come because we talked about it.
Yeah.
So like I really enjoyed it. And again, I think, not to go back and just like gush about how much fun it is to do this as a group for the third time.
Go on.
I'm not going to, because I got to talk about hit points. Okay. I think the thing that has kind of predominantly run through all of the versions is the range of hit points is too narrow.
Yes.
And when we were talking about trying to make things feel different, I do think the difference in dice assigned to the different characters are different and interesting enough, but we don't have enough hit points to see the difference, because like Dungeons and Dragons has this range of dice rolling. I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons. They do feel unique and different, and the amount of damage output that you can get is, there is strong variance. But since we're only playing with such a narrow range of hit points, and it's been true in every version that we've played, we don't get to see it because the fights between two units are over in two rolls most of the time.
Right. Not if you keep rolling D10s and rolling ones. You're very good at that.
Where's that double ones and two stretcher?
Yeah.
You didn't like my, I rolled two twos on my D4s. You didn't want that to be eight.
Yeah, no, no.
I really enjoyed this version. I think as we develop and make it more complex, we'll have to become more adept at making the wording on things much more specific and clear. There was a weird interaction where it essentially like completely negated a disadvantage or something like that.
Yeah, there was a character where my even rolls were negated. So one of the disadvantages was if I rolled even, I didn't do any damage to you. But I had a static ability that plus one my odds. So no matter what I rolled, it was going to be even. It didn't matter.
There's a world where I think that the disadvantage should be on an unadjusted roll. So like I think wording starts to become more important as we add more features and more complexity. I love the move to the static abilities instead of the one-shot abilities. I do agree with your assessment of the previous one-shot effects were too homogenous. And I really think like that's the jumping off point for whatever we do next with it, is how do we expand the range of play experience and the variance and how things play. And I actually think that'll be a really fun thing to design for now that we get to do more than just Power Puncher.
Where do you land on the traditional, I get three copies and it upgrades, versus the different levels of upgrades where you have champion and you have veteran? Because there's something to be said for when you get two copies of something, maybe you get the next version of it, right? Because in auto battlers, they usually increase even for the second copy, and then they just get exponentially better when you grab the third copy.
Two things. I'm glad you asked about that, because I actually thought it was really fun to be able to, when I had two grapplers, to field two grapplers if I wanted to. I don't know that that's ever the best play.
I did two volume strikers against you.
I think volume striker is just really good, but that's a different thing. But I think that aspect of being able to play both, if you choose to, is an interesting piece. And then having to give them away once you've made your group to go back down to only having one of that genre,
yep,
or one of that style. Like I thought that made for a really interesting dynamic. I think I would want to play around with, do we want three mat to be the match? Do we want two to be the match? The more units, the more variety of units we add, the harder it'll be to get the group of three. So I think those are things to consider as we look forward. I think I liked this version. What I really enjoyed is you didn't know when the upgrade was going to come. That added an aspect of surprise and fun and excitement to the draft portion, which might have been lacking. I'm really down to just spend some time thinking about adding more characters, seeing what kinds of abilities to look at. I would be willing to look at reducing some of the amount of text on the cards by removing it disadvantages maybe, but I would also want to try a playtest where we make really nice templates first and see if that alleviates the confusion and discomfort around it, because I don't think it's too much.
And if that wasn't clear, Mark kind of like snuck it in there and we hadn't talked about it on the show yet. One of the things that I was saying to Mark was I felt like just start with one thing on the cart, just give it an advantage. Don't necessarily give it a disadvantage and go from there. Because for me, like retaining all that was a challenge. To Mark's point is he's thinking, well, maybe I can clarify that better. I can put that on the card so that it's easier to understand, whether that's visually or whether that is just making all of the language standardized.
And I'll tell you the reason why I'm hesitant to just abandon having disadvantage right away is because I do think if we get the hit points well lined up with the damage output, I think you're going to want the advantage and the disadvantage to make the matchups that are supposed to feel bad, feel bad. Only having three units in a lineup might make the bad matchup being really bad, might make it too hard to overcome. So I think that's something to look for in version four.
So what is next for us, Mark? As energized as we are on MMA Gauntlet, this week you also playtested StarCrossed Realms with Peter. You're a go-getter right now. We went from, you know, we weren't doing a lot. We weren't doing as much as we wanted to be doing. You're playtesting multiple games this week.
I'm really just getting to reap the benefits of Peter's hard work. Peter's put a lot of time into trying to put games into Tabletop Simulator.
And I've really appreciated his messages on Discord, his pictures that he's posted. He's had some funny comments in there about how challenging it has been to work within Tabletop Simulator.
But fortunately, StarCrossed Realms is just a card game. And special shout out to Orwell for recommending playingcards.io.
That is where you guys have been testing the game.
Yeah, our preliminary, very early version. But it was really cool to get to sit down and play it. And we had that same moment of, oh, we're playtesting. Like, we're talking about things. Things are happening. It's not just, I just can't get away from it. It's so much more lively working in a team.
Tell me how the game feels a little bit and where we may be going next with it.
One of the critiques that we have often talked about in deck builders is they very much feel like solitaire. I take my turn, you take your turn. While you take your 15 village turn, I go out and get my coffee. One of the things that we're really trying to look at as I help Peter in his build of StarCrossed Realms is trying to have a high degree of more interaction. That's what a lot of the focus has been on right now.
Go on.
So I may have floated the idea to Peter. I'm going to float the idea to you. What if he comes on the show and we talk about StarCrossed Realms with the lead designer?
Yeah, let's talk to Peter.
The Misplay podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Ajos, Brian, Bins. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord.
Rock beats paper. Rock does not beat paper.
Yes, leave that in.
You're editing.
I take it back. Go back. Take two.
Paper beats rock. Rock beats scissors. Scissors beats paper. And you had like a fourth one. So, you know, stapler beats paper. Loses to rock. A rock would crush a stapler. Whatever it is. Right, you have the fourth character in there in your Rochambeau.